Our Heavenly Father, we come together in your name and to study your word. And I pray, O Lord, that you open our ear that we can hear and help us to understand what you have to say to us. And open our heart that we can hide your word within our heart so that we know what to do. So that we can walk in your way. And I pray that as we study Genesis chapter 46 and chapter 47, and I pray that you help us to learn the lesson you want us to learn. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. In Genesis chapter 46, Joyce, could you read that? We finished 45, right? We didn't do 45. Really? Are you sure? Really? We finished 45? I mean finished 44? Okay. Well, I'll start with 45 then.
Then Joseph could no longer control himself. Before all his attendants, and he cried out. Everyone made her presents. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." But they had done so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, if it was not you who sent me here, but God, he made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.'"
Okay, I want to stop here to ask you people a question. In Genesis chapter 45, 1 to 11, what is the reason why Joseph was sold to Egypt? Gabriel? Say it again. But what did the Bible say in verse 8? It was not you who sent me here. It's not because... Yeah, what's the reason why God allowed this mishap happen in the life of Joseph? So what about Joshua? Was starting verse 4. You read that. Tell me the answer.
When Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me," and they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and in the next 5 years there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance."
Verse 8.
"So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made
Now, okay, what's the reason why God sent, what's the reason why Joseph was sold to Egypt? To save his family. So how can Joseph save his family?
By becoming ruler of all of Egypt.
By
becoming ruler of all of Egypt.
Yeah, but before he become the ruler, before he become the father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt, before that, he had, what has he gone through? How many years?
31?
31? So what about reverse that? It's 13, right?
13, yeah.
He suffered, that's what you meant. He suffered when he was 17. He suffered for 13 years at the age of 30. He become a father to Pharaoh and a lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. So, at the age of 17, he has the two dreams.
Yes.
And he suffered for 13 years.
Yeah.
And then told at the age of 30, and he become the ruler. But now, in Genesis chapter 45, I think how old is he? 7 years and then two more years. So he's 39 years old. He was the father to Pharaoh, lord of Pharaoh's entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. But he suffered for 13 years. And he know that he suffered for his entire family. If he wasn't suffer, he won't go to the house of Pontifus. He won't know the warden in the prison guard, right? In the prison. And then through that lockup in the prison, and he knew two officials. One died, one get promotion, right? Restore his position. And through this incident, he got into that, he was introduced to Pharaoh. And then he interpreted dreams for Pharaoh. Remember that? And he knows all these things happened. He knows that God is in control. Any other reason why he was sold to Egypt? Other than his, from human perspective, is because his brother is jealous of him, didn't like that the dream that he has. Am I going to bow down before you? Right? Even his father rebuked him, Jacob, right? What kind of dream that you have? Right? And other than to save the entire household of Jacob, because God sent Joseph ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Do you know what, when a foreigner, when the aliens, when a stranger live in, let's say in Canada or in US, have you ever heard now a lot less Mexican coming to U.S. now? Do you know why? A lot less now. Do you know why less Mexican cross the border to stay in U.S. now? What's the reason? Joshua, do you know? Do you know what happened around the whole world other than you studying?
Not about Mexicans, no.
Now, Moses, tell him.
I don't know, the U.S. dollars.
Or because there's not enough job. If there's not enough job, who's going to suffer more severely? The stranger, the alien, the foreigner. You understand? When they cut, these are the first people who be cut. Okay? Not that not that in every inch of Canaan doesn't produce crops, but just that wherever the place that produced crop is not going to be owned by you. It's owned by the owner of the Canaanite. But you are alien. You are foreigner. You are a stranger. So you don't get a best piece of land. You understand? So when it comes to starvation, famine, you are the one who suffer. So that's why he has to move around. Do you know why? In the Bible, God say that I am the God of foreigner, God of alien, God of widow, God of the poor. Because when they suffer, they cry out to God for help. They lean on God. Okay? So now that's why if God did not send Joseph ahead of time to go to Egypt, the entire household of Jacob will be destroyed. So I want to remind you one more thing. Whether you are a Christian or not, you will face famine. But the fact of the matter is, how do you face famine? Okay? The thing is, you have to prepare for that. Take a look at the Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is a godly man. He faced famine. What did he do when he faced famine? He went down to Egypt. Joshua, could you read that? Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 all the way to the end. 10 to 20. Did Abram pray when there was a famine in the land in verse 10 before he went down to Egypt? Did he pray? Did he seek God's will? Did he? No? Okay. Now what else in verse 20? How did Abraham go to Egypt? I think, you know, this lesson is especially to our foreigner, aliens, stranger in Canada. I think we learned a big lesson for that too. When there's no job in Edmonton, let's say 10 years later, you get a job in Edmonton, you settle in Edmonton, and you get married, and all of a sudden there's a famine in Edmonton, there's no job, then you have to move to Calgary. Are you going to tell your wife and your children to stay in Edmonton and go to Calgary to work? What would you do? Pray and seek God's will. So what's God's will then for you? To leave your wife in Edmonton? Or ask you and your entire household to move down to Calgary, if there's a job in Calgary, what would you do? Move to Fort McMurray? go north instead of going south? No, let's say the Lord provide you a job in Fort McMurray or a job in Calgary. Are you going to ask your wife to stay put in Edmonton to attend the Apostolic Bible Church?
Yeah.
And then you go to Fort McMurray and work like a horse?
I would pray that God has a job for me in Edmonton.
No, assuming. No, you don't pray, okay? I know you pray, okay? But assuming that there's no job in Edmonton. And there's only one job in Calgary, one job in Fort McMurray, waiting for you. You go to Calgary, and then you go alone? Okay, I want you to read that one more time. Chapter 12, verse 10, read it one more time. What do you say? Okay, tell me the answer then. You're going to bring your family with you.
Yeah.
Don't ever leave your family behind when you go. You either don't go, but when you go, you and your entire household go. Okay? Now, I want you to write down right beside chapter 12, verse 10. You write down chapter 26, and you write down and 46. 26 and 46. Genesis 26 and Genesis 46. Take a look at Genesis 26. I want you to read that. 26, verse 1, all the way to verse 6.
So,
in verse 6, after Isaac heard what the Lord had said to him, in verse 2, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said to Isaac, after Isaac heard what the Lord required of him to do, Isaac obeyed the Lord, stay in Gerar. Before the Lord appeared to him, where did he want to go? Where did he want to go?
Egypt.
How do you know that he want to go to Egypt?
He says, do not
go to Egypt. Okay, that means he wants to go to Egypt. What's the reason why he want to go to Egypt? Because there's job there? How did he know there's job there? Right? Isn't it, we love to do things that what our fathers used to do? When Abraham faced the famine in the land, what did he do? He went down to Egypt. He heard the story that his father told him, right? He learned by experience. So, he didn't even pray to God. When there's a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham time, that's his Genesis chapter 12, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistine, in Gerar, okay? And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, and live in the land where I tell you to live. Where did the Lord want him to stay? Stay in Gerar.
stay in Philistine. So if you do things based upon your experience, your previous experience, your father's experience, where did you go? You go to Egypt. But the Lord say, stay put, stay in Gerar, stay in the land of Philistine. Right? Now, I want you to write down right beside 26, chapter 26, you write down 46. Could you read that, 46? Verse 1. Verse 1 all the way to verse 4. Okay, now. In Genesis chapter 12, when there's a famine in the land, Abraham did not seek God. He just went down to Egypt. In Isaac time, he didn't even pray. Right? Deep in his heart, he wanted to follow his father's footsteps, go down to Egypt. But the Lord intervened. The Lord appeared to Isaac, right? Now, in Jacob's time, what did Jacob do? Did he do better than Isaac, better than Abraham? You know, he gets stuck, he don't know what to do. Abraham went down to Egypt, and Isaac, he wanted to go to Egypt. The Lord said, stop it. Stay in Philistine land, Gerar. Grandfather go to Egypt, father stay put. Now Jacob, he didn't know what to do. Based upon experience, grandfather go to Egypt, get rich too, right? And Isaac also get even richer by staying in Philistine, get 100-fold reward because of his obedience to God. Now Jacob and his son saying to him, Joseph saying, go to Egypt. He didn't know what to do. Do you know why he did not know what to do? Anyone know the answer? Hannah?
Why Jacob did not do?
Yeah. What's the reason why Jacob seek God by offering sacrifice to God? What's the reason? What's the reason why Jacob offered sacrifice to God and seek his face, seek his will? He didn't know which one to follow, right? Well, Hannah has pretty good insight nowadays. All of a sudden. Hey? So, Gabriel, do you see what Hannah see? Oh, you don't see?
I do see.
You do see? Oh, they tell me, what do you see there? Well, Abraham, without seeking God's will, without praying, without offering sacrifice, without seeking God's face, and he just went down and get rich. By lying too. Now Isaac, in Genesis chapter 26, he didn't pray, he didn't offer sacrifice. He just, deep in his heart, he wanted to go down to Egypt, but the Lord appeared to him, saying, no, you don't go to Egypt, you stay. You go to where I want you to go. Okay? And he obeyed God's word. And in Genesis chapter 26, if you study at home, you will know that he get hundredfold reward. Grandfather go to Egypt, Isaac stay put. Jacob now say, well, if I want to follow my father, am I going to stay put in Canaan, land of Canaan, or am I going to follow the advice of my son Joseph? Because you see all the chariot and all the horses, right? Donkey and all that stuff ready to move, right? But what's the reason why he puzzled? Isn't it a sign? You know, your son is a father to Pharaoh, is a lord of the Pharaoh's entire household, and a ruler of Egypt. Isn't it a better place to stay? Then, you know, why would he offer sacrifice to God? Because deep down, he didn't even know whether this is God's will. I think he's a godly man. Jacob is a godly man. I want you to write it down right beside in 46, isn't it? Right beside 46. Right beside he offered sacrifice, 46:1. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Jacob did not live by sight. By sight, you get all the chariot, all the horses, all the donkey, all the animal ready to move, right? His son is alive. Isn't he eager to go and see his son? Am I right? But Jacob's life has been changed already. He doesn't live by sight. He lives by what? By faith. What kind of faith that he has? Isn't that God promised to Abraham? You're going to stay in Canaan, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to give it to you and give it to your children after you, like Isaac and Jacob. If Jacob moved away from the promised land, he's afraid that he's against God's will. Although he loved his son, he wanted to reunion with his son, although he know that his son going to look after him if he go down to Egypt. Because his son was a ruler of Egypt. He's a father to Pharaoh. He's a lord of Pharaoh's entire household. He has that power and position to look after his father, right? And his father's household. Am I right? Just look at the surface. He will be well looked after. But he's afraid. Whatever he did is against God's will. Because God promised him the promised land, the land of Canaan, belongs to him and his entire household. If he leave that place, he may not get it. So that's why he wanted to seek God's will. Can you see that? Now I want to tell you one thing. In the future, if you have a job, that if there's no job in Edmonton, if there's a job in somewhere else, I want you to seek God's will. Because wherever you go, not only affect you and affect your entire household. I want you to just follow the footsteps of Jacob. Not Abraham, not Isaac. Because Abraham did not seek God's will, nor did he offer sacrifice to God. He just went down by his own experience. He know that's a prosperous place. For sure he can get a job. For sure he can survive that famine. Same as Isaac. Follow his father's footsteps. But Jacob is better. He offers sacrifice to God and seek his will. And the Lord appeared to him and speak to him. Whatever the decision you make, whether you're going to stay in Edmonton or go to someplace else, if you go, you go with your entire family. When you go, you sell all your property. You understand? Don't leave your wife, your children behind, and then you go and get a job there. You're going to destroy your family. Look up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. If they go, they go together, the entire household. You got that? That's the way to go. You don't leave any property behind. You take all your assets and move. So tell me, what have you learned, Gabriel?
That in the future, if you were to move, then you go with the entire household. And,
but before you move, what should you do?
Seek God's will.
How do you seek God's will?
By praying, and in the old times, what David did was the office at first.
And so in today's time, what did you do? You don't have to offer sacrifice.
By tithing.
Gabriel, isn't it you supposed to tithe every month already? I mean, you don't just tithe. When I get a job in Calgary, then I start tithing. Is that what you're trying to say to me?
No.
So what do you mean by that? I don't quite understand what you're trying to say. You should fast. No, okay. I want you to write down, okay, Gabriel, Genesis chapter 46 verse 1. I want you to write down Genesis 46 verse 1. Write down Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. In those days, they offer sacrifice to God and to seek God's will. In today's day, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice so that you can seek God's will, so that you know God's will. You don't offer tithing to seek God's will, okay? You offer tithing monthly already, okay? And on top of that, when you seek God's will, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice so as to seek God's will. I want you to write down Genesis chapter 46, verse 1. Circle the word. Offer sacrifices, and you write down Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. Please read that.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is not a spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
The only way to seek God's will is by offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You say to God, God, I don't know whether I should stay in Edmonton because I don't get job in Edmonton. Should I stay put and wait for a little bit longer? Or should I just go to where the job offered to me? I want to seek your will by saying to God, if you want me to stay put, I'm willing to stay put. You want me to go, I can go. But could you reveal your will and your plan to me? And you say to God, wherever you want me to go, you want me to stay put, stay in Edmonton, I will stay. You want me to go, I can go. But I want to hear what you want me to do. You say, I have no desire whatsoever. I'm not saying I fill in the check and ask you to sign your name. The check is a blank check. You understand? Wherever you want me to go. I obey you. By doing so, then you'll find God's will. He will speak to you. Not offering tithing, not fasting. Or fasting, you can do that, yeah? But you have to offer yourself. Not my will, but your will. Does that make sense? Okay, now go back. Other than the reason of Joseph's brother, jealous of Joseph, that's why his brother sold Joseph to Egypt, okay? He didn't sell Joseph to Egypt. He sold Joseph to Ishmaelite. And Ishmaelite sell Joseph to Potiphar. And Potiphar sent him down to prison, right? And then he was promoted to be the ruler of Egypt and father to Pharaoh later on, 13 years later. The second reason why God sent him down ahead of time is to preserve for the entire household of Jacob. So that means it is God's will. It is God's will for Jacob to have a reunion with Joseph and move to Egypt, right? Can anyone tell me any other reason that he was sent down to Egypt ahead of time? I want you to write beside chapter 45 verse 7, right beside that, you write down Genesis chapter 15, you just write down 15, 13 to 16. Joshua, could you read that? Okay, now, what is the reason why the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain, because Abraham asked God the question, how can I know that I will gain possessions of it, in verse 8. Abraham said to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possessions of it? The Lord said to him, I am the Lord, verse 7, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possessions of it. Abram wanted to know for sure that he take possession of this promised land. And God said to him, in verse 13, know for certain that your descendants will be stranger in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation. That nation, we know that it's called Egypt. I will punish the Egyptian, they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendant will come back here, for the sins of the Amorite has not yet reached its full measure. Joshua, do you understand what does it mean in verse 16? In the fourth generation, your descendant will come back here. After 400 years, the entire household of Jacob, Israelite, will come back to the promised land. How come they have to wait for 400 years, four generations? The reason is what? The promised land now is occupied by Amorite. The land belongs to God. God gave it to Amorite. But when Amorite sins against God to the full measure, they will be kicked out. In the same way, when God gives the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, give it to the Abraham descendant, if they sins against God to the full measure, they will be kicked out too. Because the land belongs to God. He can give to whoever he wants. Does it make sense? Don't ever think, oh, I pay the mortgage, I buy the land, but it's still owned by God. Okay? Now go back. Genesis chapter 45. Where are we now? So verse 8. So then, it was not you, not all his brother, who sent me here, but God. Okay? Because God know that there's only one place. This nation will grow stronger and stronger. Numerous people. If they stay in the promised land, as an alien, as a stranger, as a foreigner, they cannot grow like that. There's only one place God has provided for them. Goshen. Circle the word Goshen in verse 10. And Joseph is a very, very smart man. He knows that place is very good for pasture land. Because they were serpent, right? Good for the sheep. And in that place, 70 people will grow to over 2 million people after 400 years later. And the Lord will take them out. This is a miracle that God performed. I tell you one thing. Here is the promised land. And he has Egypt. God take his people out of Egypt to bring to the promised land. That's a big miracle. Right? Because they stay in Goshen for 400 years and grow to become a strong nation. But they were enslaved by Egyptians though. Okay? That is what happened in the past. That is around 1500 BC. But in the future, you know what happened? Now you see there's Jewish people in China, Jewish people in Russia, Jewish people in USA, in Canada, all over the places. Because they disobeyed God's word, God scattered them throughout the whole earth. When Jesus Christ come back, God gonna deliver the Jewish people, bring them back all the way from the north, south, east, and west, back to the promised land. This miracle, the latter one, is quicker than the first one. And we will see it happen very, very soon. Especially after 7 years of tribulation. Okay? After 7 years of tribulation, the whole world know that. Who is in control? Not the Wall Street in control. Jesus Christ is in control. And he brings his people back to the promised land. That is the gospel
we have to tell the other people. In those days, Pharaoh opposed God, do not allow Moses to bring his people out of the promised land. Now, Joseph bring his father and his entire household from the promised land into the what? Into Egypt, right? To stay there only for a short time. 4 generations. 400 years, right? So that that nation, the Israel nation, can grow from 70 to 2 million. And after that, God raised up Moses to rescue them, to take them out of Egypt, to bring them to the promised land. And King Pharaoh opposed him. He is the Antichrist. He opposed the word of the Lord. And what happened? He died in the Red Sea. And his entire chariot. Do you remember that? In the same way, because the Israelites disobeyed God in the promised land, and God scattered them throughout the entire world. And later on, God is going to bring them back to the promised land. You know, this Bible is very powerful, I tell you. Spend some time, read it. And you know, wow, He is in control. He's in control of your heart, control of my heart, and He's in control of everything. He sits enthroned during the flood. He's enthroned forever. Could someone read that to me? Psalm 29, 10 and 11. During the flood, He's going to give strength to His people, and He's going to give His people peace. He's going to bless His people with peace. Miriam, could you read that? Psalm 29, 10, 11. The Lord not only enthroned during the flood, the Lord enthroned during His deliverance of His people out of Egypt. And He's enthroned during the 7 years of tribulation. He's enthroned from now until eternity. He's king. He's in control of all kind of situations. He's in control of your own life. He's in control of your job. Do you understand that? Remember that. Don't just read the Bible and then don't understand the true meaning of it. Okay? I think Jacob is better. At that incident, chapter 46, he's better than Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, he's better than his father. In 26, you see that? He offers sacrifices and he seeks God's will. Should I go or should I not go? And the Lord appeared to him, go, I will bring you back. Just like what I told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Does it make sense? So Hannah, in your marriage, when you see a tall, dark and handsome man, but he is not a believer, so what would you do? Should you pray or should you not pray? He's not a Christian. You not consider? Wow. Really? Mark it down. Watch over her. Okay, I heard that. Today is October 18. I remember that. Okay, that's good. Genesis chapter 45, where are we? Starting verse 8, Joyce.
So then, there was not you to send me here with God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now pray back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. 5 years of heaven are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourself.
But you know what? Even though Joseph, God make Joseph father to Pharaoh, God make Joseph lord of his entire household, God make Joseph ruler of all Egypt. And even though there's 5 more years of famine to come, that's still not the reason to leave the promised land. And I think Jacob is very, very good. And he still seeks God's will, because superficially, because we do not live by sight. By sight, 5 more years, how can I survive for 5 more years? You know, by sight, everything's ready. Chariot, everything. Donkey, everything's ready, right? Ready to go to Egypt. And yet, when he go to Bathsheba, he offers sacrifices. Is that the place you want me to go? And God appeared to him. Yeah, go for it. I will bring you back. And then he realized, later on he realized, Genesis chapter 15, 400 years later, 4 generations, and you bring me back. So the more you study about God's word, the more you know about God's will. You understand? Joseph did not know that. Jacob, his father, is seeking God's will. I think that's a good lesson for us to learn, right? Am I right? Good stuff. When you taste the goodness of the Lord in your life, then you know God is invisible, but He's in control of your life in every step of your way. And He's guiding you. How good it is. You'll be all set, man. Right, Christopher? Do you remember what I say? Do you really want to be pastor? Not really. You don't know? Oh. What about Joshua? You want to be pastor, Joshua? PJ? Not John, Joshua, Pastor Joshua. Why are you laughing? You have to see God's will. Oh, come on. Keep going. So in verse 12, what's the reason why he say that you can see for yourself, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you? Because he knows that his brother is a liar all the time. You understand? Isn't it? Moses? Tell my father about all honor according me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. 14.
Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this.
I want you to remember that, you know. In the future, when we go to heaven, never mind about your belonging on earth, okay? Because the best of all heavens will be ours. Okay? Verse 21. Don't you know that when we go to heaven, we're going to have new clothing? Don't you know that? We're going to be clothed with Jesus Christ. Okay? Same thing. Verse 23.
And this is what he said to his father. 10 donkeys loaded with the best things in Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I'll go and see him before I die."
Genesis chapter 46.
So Israel set out with all God was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac.
What's the reason why he offered sacrifices? To seek God's will. You write down Romans 12, 1 to 2. Verse 2. Stay there. He said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. Why he was afraid? He was afraid by going down to Egypt, that's against God's will. Because his father, Isaac, told him, you stay here. Grandfather, Abraham, said, stay here. That's the promised land. You understand? He didn't realize, now's the time to go. The Lord appeared to him. Okay? I want you to write down, right beside verse 2, write down Matthew 7:7. When you seek God, He appeared to you. When you pray to Him, He answered you. Knock on the door, He opened the door for you. He seek God earnestly. Okay? Could you read that 7:7, Miriam? So at night, God spoke to Israel, spoke to Jacob in a vision and said to Jacob. Jacob replied, "Here I am." Verse 3. I will make you a great nation there. Now it's only 70 people. Later on, over 2 million people after 400 years. Verse 4.
I will go down to Egypt with you.
I will go with you, Emmanuel. God's with him.
And I will surely bring you back again.
Right beside that. You write down 15. Same book, Genesis 15:14. Okay? 15:14, I will punish the nation they serve as slave and afterward they will come out with great possessions. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for allowing us to study your word. And I pray that we live in this world just like what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has gone through. They've gone through tough time of famine, times of trouble, and times of affliction. In the same way, we've gone through the same kind of suffering. And I pray that through your word, you reveal your will to us so that we know how to go through all this without getting hurt. And I pray that as we seek your will, seek your face, I pray that in those days how you appear to Jacob, I pray that you appear to each and every one of us, for you are impartial God. You do not show favoritism to your children. As we seek your face, as we seek your will, you're going to make known to us. And I pray that as we study your word, we have a better understanding of your plan for each and every one of us. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.